Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Love is the truth, and it's inside of you, everyone. Welcome to the Football Ramble. The race for the top four is hotting up, and Jack Wilshere's back in business. It's Tuesday, 22nd of February. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Is love inside of you, Pete Donaldson?
I got distracted because I was looking at Chris Boyd pin badges on eBay.
Oh, yeah?
If love is inside you, I would write to request on behalf of Marcus and I that that's where it stays.
Love is the key. All the out, mate. Uh-huh. It's opened the doors.
Uh-huh. Are there any other former Rangers strikers?
Who you fancy?
Chris Boyd.
No, he's already done
Chris Boyd.
No, I'm saying, are there any other ones?
Pin badges available.
Chris Boyd badge. Right. How many Chris Boyd badges are available on eBay? Yes, quite a few, actually.
My question was, Peter, before you get pedantic, was are there any other ex-Rangers strikers who have pin badges available?
And before the show started, he was looking at a Christopher Ayer phone case.
I was, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just getting really big into the Scottish Premier League.
Everyone's getting to NFTs. You're taking it back analog.
Yeah, I'm buying there's a fun card mask ready to wear. Celebrity piece of cardboard you put on your face and you look like Chris Boyd. But if you want to commit, if you want to steal some petrol from the garage or something.
In most places, people wouldn't know who you were. That's the problem with that.
But if
you walk down Piccadilly in London, there's you know, Kate Middleton, Prince Harry, Prince William.
Prince Harry's not there.
Well, you know what I mean, though. People know who they are. What's the point of having one of them if no one knows who it is?
Well, for the same company are doing Kevin Webster Coronation Street ones, and Kirkbride ones, Dev Allahan celebrity card faces. But then their other product is Chris Boyd. It doesn't make any sense.
I fear we're getting away from the point of this show.
You asked him.
You asked me.
You know what happens when you do that.
He didn't answer the question, actually. But there we are. I can only assume that there's a Mark Hatley one out there as well.
I hope so.
A lot of copies of the Football Ramble book on eBay. Oh my God, there's a lot of them.
Don't get one now. Yeah. Don't get one right now.
Exactly, yeah. Might even be signed. You never know. You're bad luck. Speaking of luck, though, Jack Wilshere is back in business, as we say. He's made a move. A shock move? Is it a shock move? He's made a move to the Danish top flight. For Aarhus, forgive pronunciation.
I think that's about right, isn't it?
Yeah. That'll do, won't it?
In the middle of our street.
Jack Wilshere will be absolutely delighted to lead the ramble today. Well, in the top story.
I'll tell you what.
That is a surprise.
Yeah.
It's a very Tuesday story.
It is a bit, yeah.
Yeah, he's been out of the game for a little while. Bournemouth released him at the end of last season. And he hasn't played a lot of football over the years because of injuries and whatnot. I mean, he has been training at Arsenal. So that'll keep you in shape.
Will it?
Yeah, David Beckham trained at Arsenal once for a while when he was in between, and look at him.
Yeah, he was never injured, was he?
No. Well, not like Jack Wilshere. Come on, that's naughty.
I get the feeling...
Pete Beckham was quite industrious, I would say.
Pete Beckham?
Was, yeah. Pete Beckham.
Pete.
Oh, Pete Beckham. Yeah. I thought Pete Beckham. I was like, is that his real name?
Reveal.
At some point, we'll have a footballer with the first name Pete, won't we? That'd Pete. Be amazing. Oh, he's Pete Wilshere. It's Pete Beckham. Fantastic.
Yeah, named after Peaky Blinders, presumably. Yeah.
Pete started watching Peaky Blinders.
I started watching Peaky Blinders,
you?
Yeah.
You not notice his flat cap in the office?
I just thought he'd... embracing older age.
You have to start dressing like them if you want to watch it.
Oh, right.
Correct. So yeah. And you got to drink beers out of a bin, which I do anyway.
I was going to say, that's why you start watching it.
But I get the feeling Jack Wilshere will only be there long enough to figure out how that batshit league works, and then he'll leave immediately. Because they've got that mad, like, they play each other twice, and then they go into, like, this 12-week playoff or something for a Champions League spot and the league title. So he'll figure that out, and then they'll go, just get out. Just get out.
Uh-huh. I thought Jack had Rangers written all over him, to be honest.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
And I was really surprised that the more that time went past that he didn't go to Rangers.
Not under Gerrard.
But he's not there anymore, is he?
And then not under Van Bronckhorst.
Just
saying,
if Wilshere had been in the base of that midfield, would they have scored five against Dortmund?
Maybe. We'll never know. I'd have fancied him at the Magnificent Gorgie Boys, actually.
Yeah, I can see that as well. But he has had... I mean, given that he's only 30...
I know.
He's had a very interesting journey in his career.
He has.
And I know that, Marcus, you will hold a candle for him because he once played in midfield for England.
More than once.
And I think that you would say, I think that you genuinely have the opinion that if he does really well, gets a move, he could be in the England squad for the World Cup.
No, look, we've moved
is
on.
Is that ship sailed even
we've
for you?
We've moved on from the Halsey and Roy Hodgson days at England.
Well, I tell you what, if not even you believe that Jack can get back in the England squad, I think... I
never said never. Let's never ever close the door on anybody, even Andy Carroll. But how many England caps do you think he's got?
He's got at least 30.
34.
34, okay. Yeah.
That is indicative of a different age, isn't
he's
it?
He's a good
really?
Player, though, Peter, wasn't he?
He was a good player.
That was indicative of what he could do.
Right.
I think a different age. He was a player, though. He came along at a time when, if you remember, in 2008, I think he was sort of started playing for Arsenal. Guardiola and Barcelona around that time, 2009, you know, they started doing tiki-taka and we saw the likes of Xavi and Iniesta, blah, 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 blah. And there was great hope that Wilshere would be a kind of an English version of them. Now, I know that is comparing to two of the best midfielders we've seen in our lifetimes. Mm. So it's perhaps an unfair sort of yardstick.
It's interesting you're doing this now rather than 6 years ago.
Well, we did in 2008 and in his earlier in his career
wasn't
at Arsenal.
Wasn't it Gattuso who said he was like a... Because the idea being with Jack that he had the English mentality, and he would say some quite basic stuff, Jack, sometimes. He would say stuff like, you know, I remember a quote that he gave a while back where he said, English players need to know what they're good at, and that's tackling and working hard. And it's a bit like, well, we're trying to get away from that, Jack, really. But I think it was Gattuso said he plays like a Spanish midfield player, but he's got that tenacity as well.
Yeah. No, and you know, he's got a bit of quality in there, but there was always chat, wasn't there, that he was quite injury prone. Some players are. And was he that, should I say...
Did he look after himself properly?
There we are. Yeah. And sometimes perhaps the application of the attitude and trying to get fit and trying to stay...
Did he like a crafty cigarette behind a bin?
For example. There was definitely one occasion he did. Outside that nightclub where he was. Goodness knows why he went behind the bins. Was it to maybe shield himself from the wind so he could spark up? Or was it to hide from the paparazzi?
He was looking for Roy. Next to a barn. He's looking for Roy.
When do you ever find yourself behind some bins?
I'm just having a tab.
Roy's not going to be behind the bins.
No, he's in the barn.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah. In an inner city nightclub.
Is he such a bad trainer because he just eats rats? Why is he behind the bins? I've never been in a nightclub, but certainly I'm behind a bin.
And that's Pete asking.
And that's me saying that.
Yeah, that's
however many people I invite behind the bins, they won't follow me.
In your life, how many crafty cigarettes have you had behind a bin?
He's not a smoker.
I've never smoked. I've never put one to my lips.
Because of the asthma and that.
Nah, just because
it's bad for you.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's going to go against my dupe, isn't it?
It's true. Yeah, it's true. True. Yeah.
That's it.
So do you think that they would be Aarhus would have done their research because it came about because of Roy's pal. Who works at Aarhus now, right?
Yeah, who was Roy's assistant, I think, at Palace, or one of his previous jobs, certainly.
I thought he had Ray Lewington as his assistant.
Well, he can have more than one assistant.
Yeah, why not? Exactly. Have as many as you can.
Maybe Ray needs one. So he goes down the pecking order. Yeah. But apparently, he put in a good word, and Roy was like, well, he played well for me. Yeah. 34 England caps.
I kind of think of Roy and Ray. Mm. They both look like older animals, and they feel like a bit,
they feel like, Ray
a,
look like
they feel like a an Animal Kingdom crime fighting duo to me,
like Sharky and George.
Yeah, the crime busters of the sea. Yeah, okay. Like, these guys are the crime busters of the forest. Yeah, like the Rescuers, that Disney thing. What are they? Little
they were mice. Little mice.
Okay, yeah. Pete's got mice in his house at the moment.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I keep and you've got two dogs that are by trade ratting dogs. But
yeah,
they don't kill any.
I just take them out of the humane traps, put in the back of the car, right. Drive it to an undisclosed location, let them out. It's a little little mouse taxi service.
Little hoods over there.
Yeah, it's little socks.
But then they follow you home though, Peter. Yeah. You've got to.
I know you got to go for miles. I know. I've been told it's all anyone bloody says. Go take for miles. I'll find the way back.
Yeah, indeed.
Will they though?
Good for Jack though. Maybe he'll find his way back. he's going to be what he's going to be doing is he's going to, because I know he's been training.
Yep.
I know he's been talking on TalkSport quite a lot about how good he is at football still, and that's up to him. Mm. Absolutely fine. He's always on TalkSport saying that, so he'll try and play his way back in. Ultimately, I think he feels like he wants to prove that he can still do it. But
so he should. I mean, again, he's still of age where he can put in a few good years.
But there was an interesting situation at West Ham, wasn't there, where he was injured a bit. But then after he left West Ham and went to Bournemouth afterwards for a while, I remember him saying, I was fit a lot more than people thought I was, but I just wasn't being picked. And so so you wonder then, of course, playing in Denmark with respect to them is not going to be the same as playing. Yeah. But he can't even get in the West Ham team now, for goodness sake.
Certainly not now.
And he probably wouldn't get in any Premier League midfield.
You know, if we're aware that his attitude sometimes with training and so on wasn't great, that was the rumour, and he was injury prone. Now, that's going to get around in football, and clearly it has. Now, he's needed an olive branch. He's found one with...
Roy loved him as well. Roy always picked him for England.
Well, because he put in a good shift. But Stig Ingham Bjørneby, who's at the club, one of the big wigs there, he was saying that we're aware that he hasn't played that much football. We know what he's got, and we need to get him match fit, and we need to see what's going on. I mean, I think he's reportedly $5,000 a week that he's paying. But I think for a side who... not doing that well at the moment in the Danish league, why not take a punt on him, you know?
And I think also there's an element,
and he's a high profile name
for them, absolutely. Yeah. And that's a good thing for
totally,
them.
Totally, yeah.
But also, Marcus, isn't there like an idea for Jack himself? Mm. It's a completely fresh start.
Yes,
there's
absolutely.
No baggage. No one's probably. I mean, I know he's used his contacts to get the move, but ultimately the players he plays with, they're all going to be probably quite a bit younger. Most of them, they're not going to have played with him before. He can. It's a clean slate. Here's totally. What I can do. Yeah. With no baggage, no judgment.
Here's that goal against, was it Norwich, the volley?
Yeah, show them that.
They are.
Well, that's what they put.
They used that as their announcement.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
I just
great goal.
I just don't think these things.
That screamer for England away against Slovenia, Peter.
These moves never work.
There we go.
Sorry, Jack.
Typical.
Sorry.
All right. Well, yeah. I don't know why we bothered. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the rat race for the top four, shall we? Wilshire's beloved Arsenal, whom he has been training with, of course, are in a good position to be in among those going for top four. They beat Brentford, of course, 2-1 on the weekend. With Saka and Emile Smith Rowe rocking all over the world, Peter, do you fancy Arsenal to clinch fourth spot? We presume that Chelsea are going to finish third. I think that's a fairly safe bet, despite what, you know, Lukaku being out of touch, if you will. But Arsenal, are they going to do it, Peter?
Well, I mean, they don't have a prolific goal scorer in their ranks, but they are going to be converting Emile Smith Rowe to a number nine. I mean, that's an astonishing turn for... He's got a lot of goals.
He has,
from that position. But you often wonder that when players get given that kind of like starting forward central berth, that, well, all the focus is on them, you know, to provide goals, and therefore you kind of lose them from the match a little bit. And especially, he's not the most imposing player. Mm. He's a very direct player. He dribbles, he earns space, and that's why he gets his shots away. But I just think that... That's not going to be great for his development to have that on his shoulders.
Yeah, I was surprised when Arteta suggested that Emile Smith Rowe would play very well as a number nine, Luke, because he's been among the goals, there's no doubt about that, but his style of play is very much liking to get the ball to feet, having a dribble. I mean, but could he be a false nine?
We talked
about Wilshire being a little bit like Xavi Iniesta. Could Emile Smith Rowe be like Lionel Messi back in the day?
I think that's probably... Isn't that... kind of what Arteta was saying.
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah, so I think obviously they've got Lacazette in the equation as well, who Brassel speaks very highly of, and obviously who is a good player. For me, that race is interesting, and it has been interesting all season. And I may just be saying this out off the back of what happened at the weekend, but I was so impressed with Spurs' shape against Man City.
Oh, yes.
Defensively, They looked amazing.
You know what it's like with Conte? When Conte locks down the 3-4-3.
Yeah. But they I criticised the 3-4-3 going into that game.
Yeah.
Saying that they need to play a 3-5-2, right? I feel like they need an extra body in there. And then against City at times, obviously it was a rear guard action.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit more to it than that. Yeah.
And obviously players like Son and Kane will drop it and help out, as to be fair to us, we did mention. But if they can play like that away from home against Man City, mm-hmm. and defend so well, and that's almost their identity, yeah. where they can break really quickly. Because they could have scored a lot more than three goals.
Yes.
And they can nail that down, and they can use that, and they can keep Dyer fit, and they can keep Højbjerg in the team, because I think the record with him is really good. I actually think Spurs are not in the box seat because of the run of form they've been in, but clearly that's what Conte wants to do, and if he can deliver that, I think they can get fourth.
Do you not think that they're kind of overachieving? Because all of their kind of like wins have been very late winners. They've had like four or five in recent memory where they've scored in injury time at the end of the match, and they can't keep doing that. Players like Emerson Royale, I thought haven't really acquitted themselves that well to the Premier League. He's going to take another season to get going. I think they might fall away.
They definitely have weaknesses in their team, for sure. But
I thought the back three looked pretty good, actually, with old Eric Dyer marshalling it. They did. One of Roy's favourites.
They did.
But also, as well, I find it interesting when Conte comes along. Look at Ryan Sessegnon, who's not played that much, really.
I didn't think he had a great game, though.
No, and I understand he's been injured a little bit this season, but he'll want to mould him into that wing-back kind of player. Which, I mean, look at what he did with Victor Moses at Chelsea.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly Moses was playing like he was, you know, I think at the time I joked and said, blimey, he could be on for player of the season or something, you know. And he wasn't playing that much. And it'd be interesting to see what he could do with, say, Sessegnon without making it too much about him. But this is where we see Conte really start to nail down what he's all about at Spurs. And I think you're right. I think that Tottenham have got a few games in hand on some of the teams around there. And that performance as well, you saw the way Conte celebrated. I know we talked about this yesterday, but it's relevant to the conversation now. The way he celebrated, he knows that's a marquee win.
You get
a game and you get it, and the manner of the win as well, that gives everyone such a shot in the arm. Yeah. And that will the rest of the clubs around there, for obvious reasons, wouldn't have enjoyed that. But what about Wolves, though?
I just don't think they score enough goals.
Well, but I mean, if they're not conceding any, though, you only need to score slightly more, if you see what I mean. I mean, Bruno Lage says after they beat Leicester, he says, I think we can do something special. The carrot I want for my team now is to step forward to be the big team we want to be.
Yeah, but they scored fewer goals than Watford.
Are they going to get the carrot?
No, I don't think they will. I understood that to be the question.
Yes.
They've won five
of their six Premier League games this year, this calendar year.
They're a really good team. And they're
a very underrated side, isn't they?
And you know what you're going to get with them. Mm. And they can consistently do that every single week, you know, with the odd occasional exception. I think even when they lost to Arsenal, they only lost 1-0. And it was kind of a close run thing. Mm-hmm.
You'd fancy Connor Cody in the Champions League, wouldn't you?
I'd love that. I'd absolutely love that.
He'd relish it.
Seems a great lad.
Yeah.
But, you know, Man United are in there at the moment, but they've played quite a few games more than Spurs, as you said. And the same as they've played more than Arsenal as well. West Ham have obviously played 26 as well. Mm. My fear for Spurs would be that, you know, they're capable of such absolute dross, it's unbelievable. You know, and I don't really know where that comes. When we were previewing on Friday on the show, you and I said they've lost three in a row now, and it looks likely to be four. Because you just didn't see that performance coming. Yeah. I know they've got a kind of interesting record against City Spurs, and they can perhaps they can raise themselves for these big games. But if they just drill themselves and play in that way consistently, that it's theirs for the taking. But I guess when they play against a team that isn't Man City, so for example, next time they've got Burnley away, then Leeds away, you can't really play like that.
No.
And so maybe, even if it suits them,
it
wouldn't necessarily work every week.
I'm quite astonished that you're mixing myself and Kate Mason up these days.
Oh, sorry, it was Kate on Friday, wasn't it? Yeah. Sorry,
I
beat her in Luke's game, didn't I? I'll never beat you in Luke's game, so it can't possibly
You're the champion now, we're all up against you. I think it's an intriguing race because the top four races generally... the fourth place it was at 50 points after 25 games in some previous seasons, but this way you're a little bit off that, so all to play for. And I do find it funny how people are forgetting Manchester United in this as well. I think because so many of us remember Fergie's reign,
but also
every loss and every point and every, you know, near win even they get, but you know, Rio Ferdinand said that since Rangnick's taken over, Or in the last sort of how many games? Only Man City have picked up more points.
They've lost one Premier League game since the middle of November.
Yeah,
which is mad to think of. They're the form team in that race.
I know.
Mm. Yeah. So well, there you go. It'll probably be them then.
The romance of football. Yeah. Speaking of romance of football, good to hear that Masters football returns. Those who remember Masters football will be very excited about this.
It's Jack Wilshere again.
Maybe. This is his fail, so this is something to fall back on. It was announced yesterday that Masters football is returning for the first time since 2011. We've not had it since 2011. A brand new tournament in Glasgow on the 8th of July. And because it was a six-a-side tournament featuring players over 35. It was previously shown on Sky. But it will now be on a streaming site, as is the way, Peter. Future.
Masters.com.
As is the way.
That might already be taken.
Maybe the New York Times will buy it.
Maybe. Paul Scholes and Steve McManaman are involved, which is lovely to see.
I've actually been to see a Masters tournament attended it way back in the day.
Enjoy.
Yeah, it was great fun. Yeah.
It was Jimmy McAteer trying to fight everyone. I remember from that kind of caper.
I was who?
Jason McAteer. Jason McAteer, not Jamie McAteer. Jesus Christ.
I don't know who you meant.
Jamie Redknapp and Jason McAteer. Yeah.
How many McAteers are there in football, really?
There was one, exactly. And he had no dandruff.
No, absolutely
he did,
not.
Yeah.
I was going to say, but when I went to go and see the Masters tournament, you'd have players, not obviously because it was years ago, so it wouldn't be Scholes and McManaman, but players of that equivalent. Mm. And that would be great.
Yeah.
And then obviously you'd always feel really sorry for the players who needed an explanation. So they'd say and then they go, you know, 36 appearances for Hull. I'd remember him.
Well, only because of his name.
Yeah, true. But it's always great fun.
It was great fun. I remember the Tennent Sixes in Scotland. They used to do that. That's going back much further.
And they've hit on something here because obviously there is an insatiable appetite for more football at all times.
Yes. Mm.
But here, use retired players.
Exactly.
So the other players don't get tired.
Well, it says over 35. So, I don't know. There's a few names that
maybe the 39th game in the Premier League should be that.
I think
you can do it, but you can only have players over 35.
Was this the show where the ball would come out the ceiling?
That rings a bell.
Like the ball
would drop in. Wasn't that Wayne Rooney's street soccer?
Might be. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. No, they'd throw it out of a window.
That's right. That's controlling.
And you had to control it and kick it into a skip.
And you had to dribble around a load of tyres.
Yeah, that's less interesting. But I'd love someone to throw a ball out of a big tower block and me try and control it.
I'm actually surprised you don't see more of that stuff because YouTube content and all that kind of thing.
Well, there we are. Maybe we should have a go.
So everyone in this room is eligible to play the Masters tournament.
Yeah, eligible.
On age alone.
Yeah. Absolutely right.
Who's in your team, Swansea? Donaldson. Yeah. Meet you.
Speak to Roy. He'll sort you out. You'll know an assistant manager somewhere.
Nice mention of Meet You, though. Yeah. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble. Join Luke Moore and me, Pete Donaldson, for an unplanned half hour where we discuss life's great mysteries like, can a man survive by eating roadkill, as well as the week's most bizarre news stories and your ridiculous adventures, like this one about an almost catastrophic shortcut.
We eventually came to a large railed fence, which I decided we should climb. I scaled the 15-foot-ish fence, and as I was sat atop, ready to jump down, three or four police came running from a little building we hadn't noticed before shouting at me and grabbing my mate Sam. I was faced with the choice of legging it onto the other side of the fence or gallantly going back to help my friend. I returned to Sam, and the quite pissed off police and my gallantry was rewarded as they advised me that I had been climbing into the zoo and would have landed in an animal enclosure.
Listen to the Luke and Pete Show wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
You better get your finger out, all right, and make sure that you get their fucking results.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for emails.
Yes, indeed. I think we can all agree it doesn't need the key change.
Didn't need the key change, but I enjoyed it anyway.
But there it is. Mm. We've got an email here from James Blunt.
Oh. Mm.
James Blunt.
I remember him.
After the running chat about naming kids after notable celebrities, intentional or otherwise, something that is very close to home for me, obviously, being named James Blunt, I saw an absolute gem at the weekend. Alaves have a winger called Jason, but his real name is David Remacero. Jason is a nickname because when he was young, he was so fast he was likened to Jenson Button, and Jenson somehow morphed into Jason. As a Spanish bloke growing up in the noughties, hasn't this got to be the most niche namesake going?
He's up there.
Got to be up there.
I thought it was maybe Donovan when we started.
But I'm confused. I had to sort of Google Jenson Button to sort of make sure that he's who I think he is. So he's a British motorsports guy.
Yeah.
So why did they choose that?
Well, around, I guess around that time he was very, very famous, Jenson Button.
Right.
He was like competing at the top end of Formula One.
But they've got big, like, the Spanish have got big motor racing guys, haven't they? Big motor racing names. Why choose Jenson and then changing him to Jenson?
Well, I guess because if they're going to call him what you're talking about, like Fernando Alonso or something, it's not really going to stand out, is it?
Well, and also maybe he looked a bit like him, similar hairdo. It could be a number of reasons.
We're adding in information there that wasn't an email.
Did Button win the...
He did.
The F1 Cup?
He did. He won the F1 Cup. the Mushroom Cup.
The She Believes Formula One trophy.
He didn't make the Flower Cup, but he did win the Mushroom Cup. Oh, right. So he didn't qualify for the Star Cup. So he never raced on Rainbow Road.
50cc right. or 120cc? I just want to... Okay.
Well, I think you mean 50, 100 or 150.
Sorry, mate. Yeah. I'm not a big motor racing fan.
He won the Mushroom Cup in 2009.
He won the Mushroom Cup. Right, okay. Cool.
And famously, Formula One fans have got a really great sense of humour about it. So they definitely won't be pissed off about that. Yeah.
Got a message from Jamie. Last Friday, my mum was out at my local Italian in County Durham, where she spotted the one and only bastion of English football, and more recently, NFT investor, John Terry.
Oh.
Where he was enjoying a steak on the table behind her. The question I pose is, what on earth was he doing up here? Is there a potential coaching job in the cards for him at Darlington, Hartlepool, or maybe even Sunderland? Make of that what you will, but he seemed a nice enough bloke despite the well-done steak, which can often say a lot about a person's character. A well-done steak in an Italian restaurant. Luke Moore.
Yeah, I'm not on board with that. Right. I have to be honest. I don't want to judge John Terry's character for that specifically. I would much prefer to judge his character for all the other things he's done.
Say, more, better evidence.
For better and worse.
Yeah.
Mostly worse. But I wouldn't, A, be ordering a steak in an Italian restaurant. B, and if I were ordering it, I would not be ordering it well done.
Well, I'm not sure about this. How close
How does he know?
Well, how does he know?
Yeah. How do you know? I mean,
Jamie said his mum was in the restaurant, so it's second-hand information.
Already right. A second.
Now, I don't doubt your mother, Jamie. Let's be clear about that.
We just don't know her,
but
we don't know her.
We don't know her character.
And is she quite good at spotting how rare someone's steak is from a distance?
Yeah. Or has she never seen like a unwell done steak and was walking around, there's blood everywhere?
Yeah.
I imagine he sent it back.
Maybe he just went, well done. Cooked.
I think when the waiter put it down, he just went, well done.
Well done, eh?
Yeah.
Well done, son, eh?
Well done.
Yeah.
Could he be on his way up to Glasgow for the Masters early?
I was trying to work out
pit stop in County Durham.
Have you ever seen a footballer order poor food? Get in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. Good shout. Why would he be up there? Don't know. Could be any reason.
Yeah.
Could be doing a bit of scouting. I don't really know what job he's doing now because he left Villa.
But you'd be happy to have him at Hartlepool United, wouldn't you? Big name. Get the town going.
Get the town going. Well, yeah.
Do you not think?
I think he'd fit in quite well with the Hartlepool
NFT crowd.
because he's an ambassadorial role or some kind of coach or something at Chelsea now, right? Yeah. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, of course.
Is he allowed to still do that? Because didn't he...
He's given the tours,
He's given the tours.
He's not giving the tours. He can't do the tours now.
The tours. Has he been banned from that?
Chelsea are playing in the Champions League tonight, aren't they? More on that later, so who knows? Who knows?
Shout out
Very difficult to talk about John Terry on the show, as I think we found out today.
Yeah, true.
Shout at footballramble.com. Yeah. What was the feature we wanted?
Dad of the Year. Oh, no. Well, have you ever seen a footballer order some terrible food?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just order any food.
Oh, just order any food.
I've seen Zinedine Zidane iron up the dessert tray in the Adidas lounge.
Canidia? Yeah. Were we there at Canidia?
He was at Wembley Stadium.
Were you at Wembley Stadium?
I wasn't with you, but you did spy Canidia. It was him or Axel Rose.
He just had his hand in the pasta. Just grabbed handfuls of it.
And put it in his pocket.
And he tipped the tomato sauce on the floor and went, "That's what I think of this." And they walked
off. Then he grabbed a pasty and went, "I love Italian food." And shoved it in his mouth, a hole.
I just saw Zinedine Zidane iron up the chocolate fondue.
Yeah.
Right.
And why wouldn't you?
And then he put his head in it and went,
"Oh, careful.
That's a spicy meatball." Confusing.
Oh, I've got a fringe again. Right, Peter. I think we should move on from this.
Let's move on.
All right, something a lot more sensible.
I didn't realise I was in control.
I prefer to kill him.
It's time for Portmantonio Conte. It's two footballers mashed together.
Mashed.
Yeah, mashed. If you would like to get your clues in for the game, footballramble.com.
I should point out the fact that, you know, Richard, help me out here, Richard Osman.
Right.
He copied Portmantonio Conte for his answer smash round on House of Games.
Answer smash.
Yeah. Right. Possibly been going longer, but so you might have stolen it.
House of Games. That's not been going very long, has it?
Don't think so, no.
Oh, look, we've all stolen stuff off Jermaine Genus, okay? Famously.
Just saying, you might want to speak to Big Richard and see if the answer smash has been informed by Portmantonio Conte, because I know that Richard's not only a big football fan, he's a Fulham fan.
He is a Fulham fan.
Okay.
And I once tried to get him on a Ramble Meets, and he didn't want to do it.
Oh.
Who wants to sit in front of it, sit behind him at a match? It's gigantic.
Well, I've planned on sitting in the swimming pool with him and Hugh Grant at some point.
Yeah, there you go.
When it's finished.
What an image. What an image that is.
What a great trio, though, eh?
You each side of Richard. You'd have to be, you and Hugh.
Hugh would prefer us each side of him, I'm sure.
Right.
He would, but it would look mental, mate.
Yeah, I think he'd be willing to take that
It'd
chance.
Be like a declining size.
Is it a swimming pool or a hot tub?
I'll tell you when I'm up there.
Yeah.
Right. I'll give you a call.
Not sure yet.
Who's that? There's a man in the corner of the pool. Is that too hot, Michael?
What's that got to do
Michael
with
Jackson, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
and that, the water's too hot. Yeah. It's too hot.
He's dead, Pete.
And it's the last. Like, it's the previous
the
ownership.
Was too
the
hot.
Joke's on you. Previous ownership.
All right. It's time for Portmantonio Conte. Shut the fuck up, everyone. thank you very much.
Do you want to do the jingle again?
Yeah, press it again.
I prefer to kill him.
From Hofspur.
Oh.
I scored the United States' first goal in their 3-2 upset over Portugal in the 2002 World Cup, and I also scored against Portugal in 0-2, as well as a total of 38 goals for Preston North End, Everton, Fulham.
God, that is impossible.
3-2 upset Portugal, 2002 World Cup, United States' first goal, and I also scored against Portugal in 0-2.
Brian McBride. That's the answer. Just Brian McBride.
Yeah. I don't know the rules anymore, honestly.
John O'Brien McBride.
You had Brian McBride. You get half a point for that.
Yeah.
John O'Brien. You're not going to get that. Who is this guy who's messaging? He's a maniac.
I think he's playing in the Masters.
We got a message from Josh Hallam. Thank you, Josh.
Come on, Josh. Bring it home now.
I am the Stoke-born face of Pepsi in Chile, and I am also a goalkeeper who previously held the Guinness World Record for the longest goal scored in football.
Ben Brereton.
Diaz. I didn't hear the second quick.
Guinness World Record, longest goal scored in football. I previously held it.
Brereton Diazinho. Just a guess. Zinho, wasn't it? There must be a keeper called Zinho in Brazil.
Ben Brereton Diaz Mirbergovic.
Ben Brereton Diaz Mirbergovic.
Yes, I was focusing on the Z, of course. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, we got it wrong.
Thank you, Josh. It's not actually a portmanteau.
Yes.
Shut up, stop picking holes in the game or I'll start doing it on a Friday.
I'm not.
Which I do. Yeah, constantly.
No one was picking holes in it. We were realising where we went wrong. Mm-hmm. And as you say, you do.
You said it wasn't portmanteau. You said it wasn't portmanteau.
I don't believe it is a portmanteau.
Right.
Because it's not literally a portmanteau, is it?
Oh, what? Are we playing portmanteaus? No, we're playing Portmanteau Contest, which is a different game. So eat a big old poo.
Get out this over because I want to go and watch Answer Smash.
Let's do
more consistent. More consistent.
Oh, let's talk about the championship, eh? Reading are in action against Birmingham City tonight. Huge game at the bottom of the table. Reading just 5 points above Derby County after they beat Peterborough at the weekend. 92nd minute winner. But they're down there. I mean, the league is it is very, very interesting because a lot of teams a number of weeks ago, well, you could argue a number of months ago, would have thought, right, okay, Barnsley, they're not pulling up any trees. They're pretty poor despite their win a couple of games ago. They're down maybe. Some people saying that because you always want to predict this, don't you? Derby County, well, but they're probably down. So it's just one spot. But
no,
Derby.
Where's Derby? That's what I mean.
That's it. Mm. So they've thrown themselves into contention. They're just 5 points, as we say, behind Reading because Peterborough United, they've had it. Pretty poor time of it. So it will be very, very interesting indeed. I mean, Peterborough, their manager Darren Ferguson, handed in his resignation on Sunday after a 9-match winless run. So, yeah, Peterborough, they're not in great shakes.
He'll be back.
Well, I mean, yes, he's been on and off with Peterborough for a while, hasn't he, Darren Ferguson? He's had a funny old time. He's a bit like Fatty Tirim and the turkey job. It's that kind of that kind of relationship he's had with Peterborough United over the years. I mean, I've said this story before and I'll say it again. Damn it all, I saw Peterborough play away at QPR once when he was in charge of Peterborough. Mm-hmm. This was a number of years ago. It wasn't going very well. Adel Tarat scored 225 yarders that day. That's
nice,
how long ago
like
it was.
That's why you remember it.
Yeah. Oh.
That's what Tarat will bring.
Isn't that magnificent?
Yeah.
And the crowd were singing to Darren Ferguson, "Your dad's ashamed of you."
That's about six times. Yeah. Still good.
For a few different reasons.
Which we don't...
It's really out of order.
Which is incredibly out of order, which is why I only joined in for a chorus.
It's what my mum said all through my teenage years. So I know how Darren feels.
Oh, dear. But he has a funny relationship with Peterborough United, doesn't he?
Keeps going back to the well.
Yeah. Mm. But they are struggling. They are struggling. Of course, the other big news is that Reading sacked their manager, Veljko Pavlović, at the weekend. Their fifth managerial change in less than 3 years. Since Jaap Stam got the boot, of course.
Who was the last manager they've had that's got any kind of... I know you don't want to Tim Sherwood it and talk about win percentage, but, you know, Jaap Stam's the last manager I can think of, and I wouldn't be an expert here, and I've obviously famously had a very, very difficult relationship with Reading fans over the years. Mm. I don't remember any manager since him doing very well, and they change managers all the fucking time.
Well, they waited until they won a match to fire him, which didn't make any sense.
Well, it wasn't that long ago. Well, I say it wasn't that long ago. It was probably about 10 years ago. We always used to talk about the Reading surge. You know, they always surge towards the playoffs. Mm. Towards the second half of the season. Well, we haven't had that for a while.
Surge too far.
Yeah, indeed. Well, now, Peter, of course, they've got Paul Ince in as interim boss. This is an appointment that I didn't think would happen, to be perfectly honest.
I didn't realise.
But do you think that they just thought,
why not?
He's always hanging around the club anyway. So
is he always hanging around the club?
Well, absolutely, because his son plays for them.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you want me to ruin your day?
Go on.
Tom Ince is 30.
So Major Jack.
That is extraordinary.
Don't like it. But not like it.
But Paul Ince presumably is hanging around.
No, but
the club
his son joined last month, though.
He's on loan, I think, yeah.
Put a good word in for his father.
And he's turned up. He said,
Does anybody know anybody in here who could manage this team? Well, my dad's done a few jobs.
I did a Twitter poll of our listeners. And I'll be honest, it's not the most kind of academically rigorous approach because I asked Reading fans to vote, but I'm fairly certain everyone voted.
That's fine.
Who've got no interest in Reading whatsoever. And I just said, are you happy with Paul Ince being involved?
Yeah.
And 81% said no. So
out of how many? Go on.
81%, Marcus. It's a percentage.
Yeah. Can we have the amount of voters, or do you not want to reveal that? If you don't want to reveal that, that is fine.
It's just got to 82, actually, as I refreshed the page.
Okay.
But it's a big enough sample size. When you see election
polling... True, I agree.
If you're down to ones and twos, I mean, presumably there's over 100 people took part, no?
There's over 100 people, well, yeah, over 100 people. And election polling,
that's
is
true,
regularly only around 1,000 people.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's valid.
So that's it. Well, that's the official word is that Reading fans aren't happy with.
He's got an uphill struggle.
He has got an uphill struggle. And, and is that because he hasn't managed since 2014?
Probably is. Look, to be completely even-handed about Paul Ince, he has had some success. He was a great player, and he has had some success as a manager in the past.
It's been a while.
A long while. And I think, you know, you could absolutely apply the same rigour to assessing Ince's managerial career that everyone was applying to Roy Keane like 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Because it's the same era.
Yes, you can.
And he was obviously heavily linked with the Sunderland job, which didn't come to pass. It's obviously just an interim thing, but I've not seen anything at Reading from the ownership suggests they know what they're doing, so I mean, it's not a huge surprise.
For old time's sake, I love the fact that he's back in football because I remember his playing career and joined it.
You'd like him in the England squad for the World Cup, would you?
I think again, times have changed under Roy Hodgson, maybe. But by the way, we mentioned Ben Brereton Diaz earlier. Did you see that a fan from Chile travelled all the way to see him play for Blackburn on the weekend?
Yeah.
Didn't he get injured?
Yeah, unfortunately, though, Diaz got injured, so wasn't playing. And then Blackburn's game against Millwall was then called off 45 minutes before kickoff. So the poor Chilean man didn't get to see him.
I don't understand why. It seems to me a trend
that
games are getting called off later and later.
Yes,
And it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is.
It's really tough on fans. I don't know why they're doing it.
How do you explain
it? Blackburn's not exactly down the road from Millwall, is it?
Or Chile.
No, but I don't think you can legislate for that.
I think you're getting off point here.
Right, who's the person who's from the furthest away?
You get to decide. Yeah, we have to convince you to say it's going to be called off.
When what made me laugh was that he said that... we said we could cancel the black. The bloke in question said, we said we could cancel the Blackburn match and just go and watch Manchester City against Spurs. But I said, no, I will go to watch Blackburn. There's something very funny that you're just able, like Man City have always got space for you. You can always go watch Man City. Always go and watch them.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
One of the best football teams to ever exist. Mm. You can go and watch them.
Absolutely right. speaking of Championship mishaps, gentlemen, Neil Warnock revealed yesterday that he turned down the chance to sign Didier Drogba while he was in charge of Sheffield United in the early 2000s when they were in the second tier. Now, I know this kind of thing happens in football a lot. Of course it does, inevitably. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean it's not funny. One of his players, Laurent de Jaffo, approached him with a tip to sign Drogba. He said, I had a French lad, Laurent de Jaffo, who said to me, Gaffer, I've seen a player for you in second division in France. Very good, 100 grand. I said, 100 grand? That's a lot for a second division player in France. What's his name? He said, Drogba. He said, we can't sign 100 grand for a second division player. He said, you? He said, yes. He said, me? He said, yes. He said, oh.
You got Brian Clough there.
Yeah, I did go.
Brian Clough.
Do you remember the advert, though? The bread advert?
What was it for?
It was a bread.
Yeah, what brand?
It was a bread.
I can't remember.
I don't remember it, I'm afraid.
Yeah. And then he said, you all know what happened in the end.
Yeah. I mean, Drogba's goalscoring record wasn't amazing until he went to Chelsea.
Yeah, and even at Chelsea, one could say it wasn't.
He was a massively important player for them for lots
massively
of reasons.
Massively important. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was more.
I'm not saying he wouldn't have improved early 2000 Sheffield United. I'm just saying he didn't score a huge amount of goals.
No, he didn't score a huge amount of goals.
And that's the reality of life at a club like that at that time, I suppose.
Indeed, it is.
And good on Neil for fronting up about it.
Yeah, well done, Neil.
Because he could have said, nah, that was never going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Well, to be fair, it was just a tip-off for somebody.
Yeah.
One of his players said, you should sign this guy. And he went, no.
Oh, what's the difference about it? We're in fucking London, aren't we? We're in London. What the fuck is going on here? Neil Warnock on the touchline should be like a proper bonus red button option.
Yeah.
At all times.
Just commenting.
Yeah.
Get him down there.
You can just imagine him hating London.
No, he said actually that when he managed Crystal Palace, he really liked living in London. Because I think he's the type of guy that would like going to the theatre and all that kind of stuff. Really, if you get down to it.
Don't like the prices, though.
No, he doesn't know, but that's fair. That is very fair. But he said that he liked living in London when he was in
the Palace. I reckon he probably used the phrase, typical London lefty.
No.
More than any other phrase. Donaldson, what do you reckon?
I reckon he ate all of the only thing he ate down there was, you know, those American sweet companies. Yeah. Sometimes they'll have a little kind of, have a little kiosk at the front where they'll
Kingdom
sell like hot pasties and stuff.
Yeah.
One of those. Yeah. Just eat all the pasties from there.
That's a Southwest. Oh, he loves the Southwest.
Well, that's where he's often based. Well, there we are, everybody. Tonight, the Champions League is back again. Chelsea It looked like they've got Mason Mount returning, which is a big old bonus for them, of course. What an important player. We've missed Mason Mount, actually. Not seen him for a little while. But Chelsea are up against Lille. You'd fancy Chelsea to win that, wouldn't you?
Even with all the jet lag and the colds and etc.
Even with Lukaku not wanting to touch the ball.
I mean, Lille gave a pretty good account of themselves in the group stage, though. I know it's an easier group than perhaps some of the others, but they did qualify top of their group.
They did, but they're 11th currently in Ligue 1.
Yeah, so it's a fair point.
You would expect Chelsea to do the business.
And also,
there.
If you get Red Bull Salzburg, Wolfsburg, and Sevilla in your group, you're rubbing your hands together, aren't you?
Yeah, they are indeed. Villarreal against Juventus is the other game. A further update on Jose Mourinho's antics we discussed yesterday, by the way. Mm. Or the gang did yesterday. He's now facing up to 3 games out after reportedly saying to the referee as he was sent off, "They sent you here on purpose. Juve sent you." Come on! I love it. I absolutely love it. Oh, great stuff. It's all a bit Macbeth with Mourinho these days, isn't it?
I feel sorry for the old officials. Yeah, Craig Pawson got, as the guys mentioned yesterday, Craig Pawson got pelters at that Man City game, didn't he? Mm. Just looking a little bit upset when a goal went in.
Indeed.
What are you going to do? I mean, what do you expect them to do? You can't be like an Easter Island statue. Just like...
Yep, Stam can.
Yeah, that's true. But he's not a fourth official, is he?
No, and nor should he be.
Do you reckon he'd be up for it?
No, get him in the dugout again. We want to see him managing again.
I'm just saying, referees have to show some kind of emotion, right? You hear when a referee plays an advantage and a goal is scored, he's really chuffed about it. Because sometimes they'll go, "Yes, I've done a great job."
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You shouldn't be doing that, but you can do show a little bit of emotion.
Well, I think people got a little bit annoyed once. I can't remember which referee it was, but played an advantage and then this team scored and he gave a little fist pump.
Yeah,
and it was like, "Yeah, that's not a good look."
Good thing is football fans have a good sense of humour about that kind of stuff.
They're absolutely fine. Nobody was bothered.
There's a. I'm not going to mention names, but there's a big quote conspiracy theory kind of thread happening around Arsenal and their decisions at the moment. Among some people who should know better in the industry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it that guy who used to play for... No.
It basically just hinge on the Man City penalty the weekend and the handball? Because I think Arsenal had a similar decision, went against them.
But the thing is, the football fans just to let themselves down, don't they?
Yeah,
I know people who are otherwise really sensible, who as soon as it comes to a decision about their club, they go completely mad. I think that the Arsenal one's got into such a deep dive now that it's properly like forensically analysing stats of fouls per challenge and cards per foul.
Q arse non.
Yeah, yeah. It really is Q arse non.
Bloody hell.
Jim's not here to defend himself.
No, he doesn't.
It's not
good. Oh, dear. We've reached the end of the show, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to today's Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. By the way, over on Football Ramble Presents, Flo, Chloe and Rachel are back with another episode of Upfront. This week, they discuss how England have dealt with their first real tests under FIS's successor, Serena Wiegmann, and explain how the US are finally passing on the baton to the next generation, but not without some bumps along the way. That's all on Football Ramble Presents later today. On tomorrow's show on the Football Ramble, Kate, Vish and Andy will be in your ears. Lovely old job. Until then, thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Yeah, thank you very much. Just to give you a final update on the Paul Lynch survey, he's now up to 84.7% saying they're not happy with him being anywhere near the club.
And rising.
So he's got an uphill struggle, but I do wish him all the very best.
Get your votes in. Pete Donaldson, thank you.
Farewell, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.